The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the Jay Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, Jay Ryle.
Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction, and good morning. Today is May 5th, 2024, and here are the topics that will be discussed on this week's edition of The Serious Side of the Jay Ryle Show.
Former President Trump was found in contempt of court and orders to pay $9,000 in fines.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis? Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, the New York Jets.
Amber Geiger claims she mistakenly walked into Botham Jean's apartment shooting and killing the 26-year-old. She claims she feared for her life. Well, the jury did not buy that argument.
Chaos is about to erupt.
Get out of the car now!
The driver is a lieutenant in the U.S. Army.
Keep your hands outside the window!
My hands are right here. What's going on?
Get out of the car now!
He was stopped for not having a rear license plate on his new SUV. But you can see he had a temporary plate in the window. Second Lieutenant Karen Nazario can't believe what's happening.
I'm actively serving this country, and this is how you're going to treat me.
What happened next was shocking. Suddenly, the lieutenant is pepper sprayed.
Online radio at its best.
Good morning, Lord. Today is the start of a brand new day. I come to you with thanksgiving and praise. I ask you today, Lord God, to forgive me of all my sins. Please forgive me, Heavenly Father, for the things I have done that is not pleasing to you. I repent of all my sins. Please forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I worship you, my Lord, and give you thanks for all you have done. I praise you with all my heart. Lord, today is a brand new day, and I do not know what it will bring. So I come to you for guidance. Please lead me in all the things that I will do today. Please give me a clear mind to make the right decisions. I know that your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. So, before I start my day, I want to thank you and worship you in spirit and in truth for all things you have done in my life and what you're about to do today. I know, Lord God, that there is nothing impossible with you, and all your plans are good and perfect. Lord, let me not go on my own understanding today, but in all my ways, help me as I go and start my day. Be with me and guide me with your Holy Spirit, that I may do what is right and be pleasing to you. I want to start today with an offering of praise and worship to you, with all my heart and all my soul. Let me forgive all who have hurt me yesterday and in the past. Please allow me to have a fresh new beginning today, filled with your blessing and favor. Forgive me, Lord God, for all my sins, and be merciful to me. Use me today, that you may be proud of me, and that I may delight you in all my ways. Let the people around me today be generous and considerate towards me and towards one another. Let me be a blessing to everyone today. Please give me peace and let me be patient in everything I do. Let your angels surround and protect me today. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I love you. Amen.
Three four seven eight five zero one two seven two is our calling number. 347-850-1272. It is the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio. And it's best I'm J. Ryle. And of course, I never share the stage by myself. Let me introduce you to my family members, my big sis, Vanessa Mae Belly from the McAnellys in the house, and of course my brother from another mother, the only one and only Mr. L to the E to the S is present as well. Let's say good morning to my big sis. Good morning, Vanessa. How you feeling? How you feeling?
It's still taking a little coating, but I'm okay. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How are my handsome brothers doing?
Well, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm holding my own. That's all I can tell you. I'm going to try to go to church today if it's not raining.
And it's raining here.
Well, yeah, it was raining here and it stopped. But if I can make it in there, tell the Lord thank you. I'm going to try to make it in there this morning. But I'm not feeling my best, but I'm going.
All righty, then. Give it up to the man. Give it up to the man. Mr. Elias is in the house. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, good morning, and good morning to you, and good morning, Nessa, good morning, Mama B, good morning, Kathleen, good morning, Mary the Music, good morning, Red Day, good morning, Rich Sister, good morning, my brother Hawk, good morning, my brother Jerome.
The number is 347-850-1272. If you listen to the show, you know I like to call it the rap and clap session, where we kind of talk about things that are not going to be on the main docket today. A lot of things have happened this past week. Just a jam-packed show. So much information. But most of the rap and clap topics, and I apologize, Vanessa, up front, most of them are sports-related. When I kind of look at it, first of all, Bob Avellini. Mr. Elias, you heard the story, right? He passed away this past week at the age of 70.
No, I haven't. I haven't been keeping up with the news. Yeah, I refuse to watch the news this week at all. I really have. So I didn't know Bob Avellini passed away. I'm just burnt out. I needed a break from it. I did.
Wow.
A break from it.
Should be an interesting conversation with you. Go ahead, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm burnt out. You know, I'm tired of every. Every story is so negative, man. I had to stay away from it. You know, I need positivity in my life right now. So yeah, I just stay away from the news.
I like that. Anyway, your thoughts on Bob Avellini? He took over as quarterback after was it after Jim McMahon or no? Well, I can't remember where he was in the pecking order of Chicago quarterbacks.
I thought Avellini was before him. He was
maybe he was.
Sorry to hear that for him, man. I just hate to hear anybody that passed away, man. So I won't throw any shade on him at all, but hate to hear that for him, man.
Well, Vanessa, this is going to test the true power of one Caitlin Clark. Her WNBA debut was this past week, and she did not disappoint. 21 points in a preseason game against the Dallas Wings. Here's my question. Is it the type of scrutiny that this young lady is receiving? Is that fair? Do you even know who Caitlin Clark is? This is going to test her powers, the power of Caitlin Clark. Do you know who she is, Vanessa?
It's Caitlin. Okay. Is Caitlin Clark the black girl who was over in the out the country, or Caitlin Clark, the girl who just got the number one pick and is making all of that money? Which one is
there? You go.
For?
It's B.
Okay, so we've been having some interesting conversations in my house about that NBA thing. Did y'all notice the black girl who was chosen? I think she was number 7, the one who had on all of that silver.
Angel Reese. Angel Reese.
Her. So she was. Out there flaunting. Well, I drive a Mercedes utility vehicle, and it for this This is the old one that I had. This is the new one that I had. It cost $300,000 or some crap. Bobby said something. I was like, why is this little girl who's not making a whole lot of money spending this kind of money on a vehicle?
Oh, she's making that kind of money. She's making that kind of money, Vanessa. That's why. She got deals with Reebok, and she's got all kind of deals with people are coming to her. That's the reason she's flaunting like that, because she has a deal with Mercedes-Benz.
That's what I told him. I said she must have a deal with Mercedes, because she was
deal with. She's got a deal. She's got all kind of deals. So it's not like she's not a millionaire. She's already, all of those girls are millionaires. The Caitlin Clark was a millionaire. And people don't understand that Caitlin Clark is putting asses in seats. So that's why she's getting paid the money she's getting paid. So I think it's well deserved. I can't argue with it.
So even I heard that the seats were selling out, that they were making cool money watching those girls play.
This is like the revitalization of Magic and Bird, because Angel Reese, her debut, she had almost had a double double. She had 13 points, like 9 rebounds, 2 steals, and so many assists. So yeah, they're gonna revitalize the WNBA. So yeah, people are gonna come out to see Caitlin Clark, because you know, and the Chicago Sky, their tickets sold out immediately. She comes here. Okay. She comes to Chicago in June.
Let me ask a stupid question. Does Texas have a, or any of the Texas schools, or anybody have a girls team? Yeah, I'm just wondering. I'm just asking.
The Dallas Wings. That's where Caitlin Clark debuted, the Dallas Wings.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad WNBA team. I've gone to a game of theirs when I was in the Dallas area. So I think it's, you know, I think she gets an unfair rap. I mean, one of her mentors is a young lady by the name of Maya. I can't remember Maya's last name, but that's one of the ladies that she looks up to. That's an African-American young lady. I just think that people have to understand that I have daughters her age, and all of a sudden you're here in the spotlight, and she's being crucified by some commentators out there who are saying, oh, my God, because she's the great white hope, you know, she's getting all this attention. Hey, that girl can ball.
She can ball. I take nothing away from her. She's doing her thing. She's putting the asses in the seats. So, yeah, she deserves all the accolades she's getting. If you can do
that,
put the asses in the seats, God bless you. You deserve it. You deserve
it. Absolutely.
And she's shooting the lights out the gym. Yeah, man, God bless her. I don't have nothing against her at all.
And Don Staley said it best. She thanked her after she won her national championship, saying, hey, what you're doing for this sport, hey, listen, God bless you. You know, let's call it what it is. Now, you're right. White people, when they get somebody that they think can compare, that can compete, you know, at that same level in a sport that's dominated by African Americans, they always boost them up. You know, it's called the Jerry Clooney effect, you know what I'm saying, or the Rocky effect. You know, the bottom line is that, hey, give this lady her roses. She is the reason why I watched a lot of NCAA women's basketball this year. And listen, another thing, too, they have to stop putting these comparisons up. You see these comparisons on different websites. Oh, Caitlin Clark is only making $800, whatever her salary is, compared to what the young man out of France in San Antonio. I think his contract was in the millions of dollars. But you have to understand something, folks. It ain't as simple as you think it is. The WNBA has been losing money ever since it's been in existence. In existence, it's lost money. The WNBA the NBA funds the WNBA. So if you want to complain about how much money Caitlin Clark is making, then you know how you can contribute to that? Start attending their games. Start supporting their merchandise. Do those types of things, because it's all about money. Trust me. Trust and believe. It's about money. Period.
Yeah. Because I've been to Las Vegas Aces game. My brother, who lives out in Vegas, he has seats like right there, man. He's like, he bought season tickets to the Las Vegas Aces. And I was out in Vegas, and he took me to one game, and it's It was great to see, man. Las Vegas Aces guys, they got a squad. Oh my God, they got a squad. So yeah, and people are talking about how come Asian Ace and all these other NBA players don't get the same deal that Caitlin Clark is getting because of with the shoe deal. And I say, man, when they can start filling arenas like this girl can, they get that shoe deal. But this girl is filling those seats because white, like you said, the great white hope that, yeah, she's this, so we got to go see her take down the black folks. So, and it's unfair to her because she's a hell of a ball player. And she's a hell of a ball player, and she ain't ashamed about that. She's just a trash talker. But Larry Bird was a hell of a trash talker, too. If you hear the stories about Larry Bird, he talked more trash than anybody in the league. So that's what the game was based on, trash talking. But people took it to the next level when Angel Reese and her got into it because they were talking trash to each other.
Yeah. But,
that's what it is.
And of course, she was, Angel Reese was villainized, and, people are saying, yeah. Look out of Chicago, when Caitlin Clark arrived with her team, when she arrived in Indiana, they rolled out the carpet, they had the bands, they had all these different things, and when Angel Reese made her debut with the Chicago Sky, they just walked her into a gym with a handful of reporters. Hey, listen, you don't blame that on society, you blame that on the Chicago Sky. They don't have a damn thing to do with anything. They should have done a better job of introducing their number one, their first round draft pick. It's ridiculous. We have to stop. Every time something doesn't go our way, we always want to throw the race card. Sometimes it's applicable, sometimes it's not. In a few more minutes we have left, a couple of more stories. Actually, we can cover some of this stuff mid-show. But I just want to say this before we get into the show. Last night, my beautiful daughter went to the prom. And when I tell you, it's always, it's a moment when you see your baby girl, the same little girl that would be outside with you playing in the grass, getting dirty, the same little girl that would go out there and help her daddy build, a man cave, the same little girl that runs around and hangs out with her sisters and plays with her dogs, to see this young lady dressed up the way she looked stunning last night. And I just want to say I love that young girl. My goodness. I'll send it during the break, Vanessa. I'll send it during the break.
She was beautiful, my God.
Just a beautiful young lady.
Wow.
And it's that moment. Every father that has a daughter, there is that moment when you realize, oh, my damn, she's a young woman. And it's that transition period. So I experienced it last night, and I'm just grateful for all my daughters. I'm grateful for the people who love them.
Did you have some tears? Were you crying when she left?
No, her mother was boo-hooing. No, I didn't. I think it'll get me graduation day. I think that's when it's all gonna hit me. But listen, she was beautiful, and I was just appreciative of the fact that my kids have I'm almost done. And it was just a sight to see. All right, it's time to get out of here before I do get mushy. All right, it is time for an NPR News update. And after that, we'll get into the show. We're doing some different things this morning, and I'll explain on the other side. 347-850-1272. We'll be right back after this.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Winter Johnston. Thousands of Israelis protested in Tel Aviv last night, calling on their government to make a deal with Hamas to end the war in Gaza. NPR's Lauren Frere reports Israel says it's willing to pause the fighting in exchange for hostages.
Israeli protesters called on their Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu not to launch a ground offensive into Rafah in southern Gaza, where more than a million Palestinians have sought refuge, and instead to make a deal now to release some of the more than 130 hostages held by Hamas-led militants. Ronan Nutra's son Omer, who's from Long Island in New York, is among those taken on October 7th.
If they agree to the deal, the people in Gaza will get relief, and we will get our son back. So it's a win-win for everybody.
The impasse appears to hinge on whether a ceasefire would be temporary or permanent, and whether Israeli troops would fully withdraw from Gaza.
Lauren Freyer, NPR News, Tel Aviv. The Israeli government has voted to shut down the news organization Al Jazeera in Israel. Lawmakers have passed legislation allowing the temporary closure of foreign broadcasters considered to be a threat to national security during the war in Gaza. Mandatory evacuation orders have been issued for parts of southeastern Texas after days of heavy rain and widespread flooding. Harris County Judge Linda Hidalgo, the county government's top executive, provided an update last night.
There was water in several areas by rooftops. There was, you know, large truck in the water, cars in the water, just really, really severe stuff.
A flood warning remains in effect for the East Fork of the San Jacinto River through Tuesday afternoon. The Arizona legislature last week repealed a Civil War-era law that banned nearly all abortions. Now, staff at clinics that provide abortions are looking toward a constitutional amendment that's likely to be on the November ballot. Paolo Rodriguez from Arizona Public Media reports.
With the near-total ban repealed, Arizona still bans abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy, except to save the life of a pregnant person. Phoenix-based clinic owner Dr. Gabrielle Goodrick says more should be done to protect access.
We don't need politicians in there interfering with these personal decisions. It just is very vulnerable to any kind of restrictions that the legislator could do, and that's why we need it enshrined in our Constitution.
If the amendment passes, it could allow abortions until 24 weeks. Abortion rights opponents say it is the state's responsibility to protect what they refer to as unborn life, and that abortion violates religious tenets. For NPR News, I'm Paola Rodriguez in Tucson.
It's NPR.
The NAACP is committed to equality for all people, especially the equality of foundational Black Americans. Every other child gets a chance at economic equality. Every other child gets a chance at living the best life they possibly can. Doesn't he deserve a chance too? Learn more at NAACP.org.
Online radio at its best.
Former President Trump was found in contempt of court and ordered to pay $9,000 in fines. The judge found Trump repeatedly violated a gag order that barred him from making public statements about witnesses, jurors, and some others connected to his hush money case. The former president was fined $1,000 for each of the nine times he violated the gag order. Trump has repeatedly said he was just exercising his First Amendment rights. Former president is currently on trial, accused of making hush money payments to cover up alleged affairs. Find Donald Trump. So some breaking news this morning. Former President Trump was found in contempt of court.
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272. It's the Serious Side. 23 minutes after the hour. Appreciate you being here. Hopefully the weather's good in your neck of the woods. I know that here in Texas, my Lord, the weather is acting a boo-boo. So be safe if you're out there on the highways and byways of this great state. The judge in the Donald Trump New York hush money case has found the former president in contempt, fined him $9,000, and said that if he continues with this type of behavior, that he could possibly face jail time. So, $9,000. You know, for me, if I got fined $9,000, you better start checking area bridges because I'm about to jump. But for a man with the type of money that he has, I think it's not even a slap on the wrist. I think it's a pinch on his arm or something. I don't know. Ms. Elias, I really don't have a question. I don't know. You know, it is what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, the big news from that case was the fact that Hope Hicks testified. And so far, what the court watchers are saying is that the case is becoming a slam dunk case because everyone's concerned about Michael Cohen because he's the guy that is a flawed witness. And so at the end of the day, what the defense is trying to say is This is Michael Cohen. Is this he's like this scorned lover. He wanted to get to the White House, and when he found out that he wasn't going to Washington, he began this process of trying to bring Donald Trump down. But as always, the witnesses that are testifying are Trump-friendly witnesses, and even though they said wonderful things about him on the stand, their testimony is what it is, and it doesn't look good for the former president, Mr. Elias. Your thoughts?
Well, bottom line is, you know, I watched from last week or the week before last, one judge came on MSNBC. Can't remember her name. She's out of California. But what she said was that for her, she'd have put a stay on Trump. And I thought a stay, oh, wow. What she meant by a stay was that she would say, she said, because he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop with the gag order. So she said, I would put a stay on him. And what the statement was, that once he was done with this trial, she would take his ass and put him in jail. And then everybody said, oh, it would be a logistical nightmare. She said, no, not if you put his ass in solitary confinement. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. But when people make those types of comments, I'll say the same thing. I'll use the same analogy when I talk about the Republicans chasing that car. When they catch the car, what do they do? It sounds good in theory, but at the end of the day, you know, for me, I think that a lot of these people are looking at this from a holistic standpoint, Vanessa. And what I mean by that is the judge, right, anybody else would have done these things. They'd have been in jail a long time ago. But the temperature of the country is red hot. And so they have to navigate through this mess because they know that if they put this man in jail, how many people may die because they put this man in jail because someone goes off and says, okay, you're going to put my president in jail. We're going to start a war. So I think these are decisions that they're contemplating as they try to maneuver through this.
So what happens if he loses the election? Are you scared they're going to be another war? War? I mean, come on, man. You cannot. Come on, man. Justice needs to be served. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. Well, but see, you can say that, Mr.
We always
Elias,
say
but
nobody's above the law, but he's above the law.
Well, no, what we're saying is that you have to make intelligent decisions when it comes to things like this. So by putting him in jail for a week, is it worth one person losing their life? I'll ask you.
No, it's not worth one person losing their life, but you still can't placate to this guy, man. You cannot do this.
Mr. Elias, what they're trying to do is they're trying to find every other angle, right, to try to punish him. It's like, okay, let's go back to Russia and the United States. We talk about this on the show all the time. There are countries who are killing our soldiers in remote places. We talked about this with the Saudis. It's like people are bitching and complaining that we're doing business with the Saudis because they chopped up their Washington Post reporter. But the end of the day, you have to look at the greater good. It ain't cool. It ain't right necessarily. But you can't sit here and act as if this is in a box. If they put this man in jail, there are people who are sitting at home minding their business, drinking their coffee this morning that may end up getting shot and killed because you got these lunatics out here wanting to take revenge. And so as
and if he wins the war, that same thing is going to happen, huh? If he loses the election, the same thing is going to happen.
And that's a possibility. That's the reason why his remarks he made this past week about you have to fight for your country, you know, people are going after him for those remarks. It's a volatile situation. You know, but when you're fighting a war on many fronts, you know, each command center in a battle or a war, they have to deal with their sector. And what I mean by that is, yeah, if I'm on the west flank, I have to try to do the best I can to preserve life. But in the meantime, on the north flank, I got to deal with that same situation. I don't know what the right answer is. I mean, true, he can go by the book, Vanessa, and throw him in jail. But I think that they're weighing the consequences of this. You can't tell me that they're not, because if he was average Joe Blow, he would be in jail by now.
Totally. 1,000% agree with you. First of all, I think that if it was a regular person, they would have been locked up long ago. And then the next thing is, I'm with you on this. I think that the judges the judge is afraid of what will happen should he put Trump in jail. Now, on the other hand, if you are afraid of what Trump is going to do to you, I do, or one of his Trumpsters, I agree with that. So let's do this. How about make it $10,000? Now, $10,000 for each fine? That's a little dip in his pocket. I know y'all thinking
can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that because I think the statutes won't allow you to do that.
The statute won't do it.
I think that the statute is more than $1,000, though. I mean, $1,000 is not a lot of money per fine.
So,
I'm sorry. I was just corrected. Y'all are correct. The normal contempt charge is $1,000. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean nothing. $1,000 means nothing, and he's not going to put Trump in jail because he's afraid some people are going to come and burn his house down. Look at what they did to Nancy Pelosi's husband. So I kind of understand why the man's not doing it. I don't like that he's not doing anything, but I get it. And Trump is going to keep right on acting a damn fool. Because he knows nobody's going to do anything to him. He knows it.
So here's a $1 million question. Here's a $1 million question. What happens if he loses his case? Is he going to jail, or are we going to play K2 him some more?
They're going to play K2 him some more.
I think, you know, now see, that's a good question. it is a good question because I think that what you have to do is I think he has – the verdict will give them cover, even though those lunatics will do what they have to do. But the verdict will give them cover.
No,
I did not. No, I did not. He is following the law, Mr. Elias. What he's doing is he is levering contempt charges against him. He's using every tool possible. He's the last resort. He wants to put this man in jail, right? So he's using all the tools that he has in place. It's like when the president, like, for example, if the president, remember how the Republicans were obstructionists to President Obama? So he had to use what he had available, which were executive orders. People are like, oh, my God, he did all these executive orders because Congress won't pass any of the stuff that he has going through. So the judge is using all the legal tools available to him. He don't want to put that man in jail because he knows that's what Donald Trump wants.
If you don't put his ass in jail, that's not using all the legal tools.
Mr. Elias, you're not listening. I just said he is using all the available. Go ahead, Mr. Elias.
Putting his ass in jail is available.
But isn't contempt a legal tool as well? That's what I said. I said he's using all the legal tools available to him because the last resort he wants to do is put this man in jail. Because he knows that, first of all, that's what Donald Trump wants. He wants to be put in jail. Because, you know, once he gets in jail,
I would give him what he wants.
Well, but see,
I would wait till the trial was over and then put his ass in jail.
Listen, and that goes back to your original question. What happens if he's found guilty? And I say that what's going to end up eventually happening, I think, what the judge is thinking, I'm not the judge by no stretch of the imagination. I think the judge is going to use that as cover. He went through the judicial system. He was judged by his peers. People who testified against him are people that are in his camp. How can you come back and say that it was a miscarriage of justice when all the things were in place that made it fair? You're still going to have those lunatics out there, but at the end of the day, you know, when the process is over, there's an ending and there's a result and there's a sentencing. I don't know what he's going to do.
Maybe the listener said he needs to be put on a stay. What a stay means is that at the end of the trial, regardless of whether he's trying innocent or guilty, his ass goes to jail. That's what I said.
Okay. All right. Well, Vanessa, go ahead.
Okay,
you're trying to talk.
I'm just trying to say that while y'all up there griping about what's going to happen to him when would he go to jail. Nothing. Even if he goes to jail, he's going to have Secret Service. But he ain't going because somebody in that jury stand is going to block it up. He ain't going to jail. I don't care what evidence is laid out. Somebody on that jury is going to block it up for him. He is not going to get found guilty on none of this.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why he needs to ask to be put on a stay.
I mean, I don't know. Listen, I can't. I'm not a judge. I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV or on the radio. I have no idea what those powers are. I have no idea if it's applicable in this case.
We're not talking about a judge. We're not talking about a judge.
No, no. Miss Daly is talking about putting him on a stay. I don't know.
We're talking about a person that's a kiss the ring Trumpster that went into that jury stand acting like mm-hmm. they were not yep. biased, and mm-hmm. they had that clear face. And
that happens
they
all
left.
The time, though, Vanessa. It happens all the time.
It does, and it's going to happen with this. So y'all can say what's going to happen if he go, but he ain't going because they're going to block this up. They're going to block it up.
Got to agree with you, Ness. When you're right, you're right. Got to agree with you.
So
when you're right, you're right.
Ain't nothing. Somebody go sit there with a straight face.
Well, you know, I tell people all the time that's the judicial system. I mean, we had this conversation a few weeks ago when O.J. died. You know, people are pissed off that O.J. was able to walk, but he went through the judicial system. Whether you agree with it or not, it's what we have in place. And so at the end of the day, you have to respect those results. You know, okay, no one knows what a person's going to do. What, Vanessa?
This is going to be an advertisement real quick. Did you see on Magic 102, they had a commercial on the radio saying that more black people need to go to jury duty, and that is why so many of our people are being convicted because it's not enough fair jurors that's in the box. And they were saying, please, start going to jury duty. That's exactly what the TV commercial was about. Well, the radio commercial was about.
Well, they got to be registered to vote to even do that. So if they're not registered to vote, they won't even get a chose for it.
But look at how many people are registered. And I told Bobby the last time Bobby got picked, they sent a thing back or called or something that said that they had settled it, so he didn't have to go. I got
same
off
thing
that
happened to me.
The next time I get called on jury duty, I'm going.
Same thing happened to me. I was supposed to go on jury duty back in February, but I kept calling to reschedule because, you know, obviously the days that they needed me, I wasn't available. So I was supposed to go this past week, and I got a text saying, hey, do not report the case was settled. So, I mean, that's a good point.
So those of you at the sound of my voice that are going back listening to this, I know people hate jury duty because you ain't going to get it for $6. But we need to start going to jury duty so that when our people are up there in front of the judge and in front of all of the other attorneys and stuff, that they can look over there and see some black people's faces. That doesn't mean that we're going to vote to help them, but it does mean that now they realize that black people will be out there in the jury box. So I don't know. I think I'm going to do better with that. I really am. I'm going to do better with that.
Yeah, there's more diversity, definitely having more diversity. And I'm glad you brought up that last point because just don't go and vote because, you know, oh, my God, he's, you know, because a lot of times, and this is something that that I've always, you know, as a former HR director, I used to always talk to my managers about, you know, situations. And you have to be careful, especially if folks are talking about suing your organization for discrimination or for whatever the case may be. I always tell people to make sure you have all your information in order, because when you appear, more than likely, when you go to court and you sit in that on that witness stand, at the end of the day, people who are sitting in that jury, usually they are 12 people that are employers of an organization versus being an employee of an organization versus being an employer. So in other words, people are going to look at that situation and say, uh-huh, that's what my boss did to me. There's already a bias in there because of what they're dealing with from their personal situation. If they hear something that sounds similar of what they're going through, then more than likely it'd be damned to evidence. I know it happened because it happened to me. So, that's a good point. I think people need to go to jury duty, but make sure that you listen and look at the facts and, you know, look at the evidence and make your decision accordingly. So this trial, the star witness is Michael Cohen, and people are waiting for him to hit the stand. But I think what the prosecutors did was excellent. They brought people up that will justify and lay the foundation to the main charge and to the things that Michael Cohen is going to testify to. So now when he comes and sits on the stand, you know, Trump's attorneys can't say, yeah, he has a bias out against Donald Trump. They've already laid the foundation that Trump was involved in this. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, your mother's on the witness stand and your mother said, hey, you know what, he robbed a bank. At the end of the day, they're like, well, that guy snitched on me because he didn't like me. Well, man, your mama said that you robbed a bank. You know, she you know, if anyone had a reason to be biased or lie, it would be her. And so she's coming out saying, nah, he did it. And so Trump's people are coming out and saying, hey, he was the man. So I'll end this segment with this. So do you guys, it sounds like you guys, if he's guilty, you don't think he's going to jail. That's what I'm hearing from both of y'all.
Correct.
So what Correct. Happens then? What do you Correct. Think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen then if he's found guilty of these charges? Because
they'll put him on house arrest. They'll put him on with a cat on house arrest.
Okay.
Put a cat around his ankle, put him on house arrest. That's what they're going to do. Yep.
Wow.
But I slapped his ass in jail.
Wait, let me say this. Wait. So one of these, he got so many court cases, y'all. Okay, so one of these court cases, he got like 91 indictments or something, and they dropped it down 35 or 40 or something, right? Am I right?
No, 88.
Okay,
right,
what's the damn difference? 88. Okay. So somewhere or another, if he is found guilty, y'all, don't forget, people that's listening to me, I don't think Trump's going to jail, but they do have bougie-ass prisons for rich, prestigious people to go to jail. They do have bougie prisons. Oh, what's his name? Bill Cosby didn't go to one, but they do have bougie prisons because federal prisons, you close. You don't wear an orange uniform with stripes. And, y'all, it's a different prison than regular people's prison. So if he goes, his life ain't gonna be that terrible. And then guess what? They gonna cut half of his time of whatever it is. Y'all, this is Trump. I'm sorry. Y'all, let me turn over because my hip hurting. Y'all, I'm sorry. Trump is not gonna be in a prison that he gonna be wearing an orange jumpsuit with stripes. If he happens to go, he will not. He will not. And his security guard, his person is gonna be right there with him. So I don't know. He's still Trump. He's still gonna get away with stuff. So okay, that's all I want to say was he ain't going to no regular prison. He ain't going to one of them. That ain't gonna happen. So I don't feel sorry for him. He not.
Well, I tell you, I tell you something that I hate to do, but I'm gonna have to agree with Mr. Elias. I think that he will probably go into house arrest, especially if this case ends during the presidential campaign, because he is the presumptive.
I was talking about the case with the charges. Is that
No. I understand. I'm just talking about this current case. I have to agree with Mr. Elias, and boy, Lord knows I don't want to do that. Jesus Christ. But
isn't it true that you can't run for president if you got a felony on your record?
No, I don't think that's the case. I thought we had that discussion before because I thought that was the case as well. People can actually run for president while they're in jail. I thought we had that conversation. I guess we can look it up on the Google machine during the break. I don't think that's a disqualifying factor.
How can you run for president but you can't vote? If you can't vote with a felony, how can you run for president?
I don't know. I'm just saying that I know that we had talked about this before on the show, and I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say that I know. But I thought that, you can run for president while you're in jail. I remember having that conversation.
You don't have to be convicted of a felony and be in jail.
Yeah, you're right. You can run while you're in jail.
Yeah. So I don't know. You got me. I have no idea. Whether or not if you have a felt, you know, you bring up some interesting questions. You know, what happens if you can't vote, you know, as a convicted felon? How the hell can you
vote, but you can run as president? I think that's just insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is insane. As a matter of fact, I think it's insane. And at the end of the day, the bottom line is you know, that's the Constitution. I really and truly believe that when the forefathers put together the Constitution, they did not anticipate one Donald J. Trump running for president. And I just pulled it up. So you have to be a naturally born citizen. You have to be at least 35 years of age. And you have to be a resident in the United States for 14 years. There it is. That's the three basic requirements for presidents or candidates. I guess during a break, we can do a deep dive. One of y'all, we can do a deep dive. But that's what I'm seeing so far. That's crazy. So anyway, I agree with Mr. Elias. And I know we had the eclipse a few weeks ago, but I think there's an eclipse today. Because I'm going to have to agree with this guy on this one. Crazy stuff. 347-850-1272 is that call-in number. You could be a part of our conversation live or at Membrex coming up later on in the show. Pastor Steve, state your case where I read your comments from the social media sites that we monitor throughout the course of the year. Obviously, we are in the middle of a presidential campaign. Young voters are important to the Democratic Party. And with the war that's going on, we're 6 months out. Students in Wisconsin, they are part of that demographic that Democrats need to win. In this week's edition of Informing Us and Less, something that you need to know. We'll take a look at what's going on there and see what the Biden administration needs to do to secure that vote. You're listening to The Serious Side. 347-850-1272. We'll be right back after this.
Wisconsin is expected to be one of the most competitive states in the general election, and President Biden is banking on the support of younger voters.
You all will really decide this election in this state.
That's California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna, who toured a handful of Wisconsin colleges last week for the president's campaign. NPR's Elena Moore was there to hear how college students are feeling about Biden.
It's final season at the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, and 23-year-old Danielle Hoffman is finishing up her final classes.
I'm graduating in spring.
She's excited to close the door on college, but when she looks past the summer and talks politics next fall, it's a different story.
Oh, I would like to hope one day that it's not going to feel like you begrudgingly have to vote for somebody. Like, I would really like to be like, oh, I can actually really get behind this person, instead of feeling like, you know, I gotta like check a box.
Hoffman typically votes for Democrats. She doesn't support Trump, but isn't sold on Biden. The president has struggled with Gen Z and younger millennials, who backed him 4 years ago. And over the past few years, young voters in Wisconsin have turned out in high numbers. So the Biden campaign is investing heavily in youth outreach and working with the party to organize across college campuses.
Thank you for being here.
Standing in front of Students for Biden Harris posters, Congressman Ro Khanna addresses a small group of student leaders at La Crosse. So
I appreciate it very much what you're doing.
Khanna is one of several national faces making their way to Wisconsin for the Biden campaign. Here he is at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire.
What is your advice on what all of us should be talking about, issues that you think appeal to young people here on this campus?
The issues brought up by student leaders at both schools sounded familiar.
The environment is super important to me and preserving that.
We've really been working for reproductive freedom, LGBTQ rights.
I think Biden's done a pretty good job with the economy and with the environment, but I definitely do feel some of that lack of enthusiasm for him on campus.
That lack of enthusiasm comes as schools across the country erupt in protest over the Israel-Hamas war. Even at a school farther away from the big cities, it's a topic that keeps coming up.
Frankly, talking about the situation in Gaza.
That's 20-year-old Matthew Lehner, the chair of the Wisconsin College Democrats and a student at Eau Claire.
You just need to have a good answer for young people, because a lot of young people are concerned, and, you know, I'm concerned as well.
Biden's message on Israel has shifted since the Hamas attack last fall. He's become more critical of their military response and supports a temporary ceasefire. That's what makes Khanna a unique messenger. He's more in line with many young voters, supporting a permanent ceasefire and stopping additional aid to Israel. Plus, he acknowledges the issue affects the campaign.
It would be foolish to think that this wouldn't make a difference, especially when we're talking about an election that is on the margins.
Toward the end of his trip, Khanna met with students during a closed press meeting in Milwaukee. But nearby, at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, students echo what was heard on other campuses.
Something that gives me pause voting for the Democratic Party is the stance that they're taking on Palestine.
That's Taylor Morris, a 32-year-old Navy veteran studying at the college. Debriefing after his meeting, Khanna told NPR that, among other topics like the economy and abortion, the war did once again come up.
It's one of the issues, but I would think it's a mistake to make it the only issue.
And that's true for Taylor Morris, too. Access to reproductive care matters so much to her that it pushed her to move to Milwaukee.
The Dobbs decision, honestly. Being a woman in Idaho was becoming like more and more untenable.
Studying nearby is Miles Medina, a 27-year-old sophomore. They're undecided this fall, but understand that sitting out for Biden could benefit Trump.
I'm not happy with Biden's foreign policy. But at the same time, as a transgender person, I don't want my rights taken away. And I know that's something that a lot of people my age are like, what do we do?
And because of that, Medina says it's a very hard decision to make. Elena Moore, NPR News, Milwaukee.
Online radio at its best.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?
Diversity and opportunity.
Lewis?
Freedom and freedom. So let's keep it that way.
Well, the New York Jets. No, I'm going to hold you to an answer on that. What makes America the greatest country in the world?
Well, Lewis and Sharon said it. Diversity and opportunity and freedom and freedom.
I'm not letting you go back to the airport without answering the question.
Well, our Constitution is a masterpiece. James Madison was a genius. The Declaration of Independence is, for me, the single greatest piece of American writing. You don't look satisfied.
One's a set of laws and the other's a declaration of war. I want a human moment from you. What about the people? Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
Welcome back in 347-850-1272. It's the Sirius out on a beautiful but wet Sunday. It's beautiful because if you open your eyes today and you're walking amongst the living, it's always a wonderful day. But the weather is not good, especially in our area. Hopefully the weather is better in your neck of the woods 52 minutes after the hour. You know, I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to do some different things this morning. We're going to bring on some thought-provoking topics. Whoever has the squeaky chair. And we're going to also revisit and provide updates on stories that we've covered in the past. I think that's something that we need to do a better job of. So, is America really the greatest country in the world? Every week you guys tune in and we talk about a lot of the problems that this country has with our political process, whether it's dealing with black-on-black crime or, you know, police brutality, or in a case, you know, people making decisions about women and their right to choose and what to do with their bodies. And so, Vanessa, I'll start the conversation off with you. Is America the greatest country in the world through your eyes?
It is still the greatest country in the world. Even though it is Trump country, it is still the greatest country in the world.
It is Trump country.
Well,
I don't know how you can say it's Trump
fact.
Country and he lost by 7 million votes, but you know, okay, whatever. Go ahead.
Well, I said besides. Well, let me change it. No, I ain't changing it. This is pretty much right now mainly Trump country, and it doesn't matter how many he lost by because he's still running it. It's still a good country. It's still a good country regardless. We still can tell people to go to hell, kiss, I mean, you know, all kind of little things, and in other countries you can't do that. You can still vote against, look at Russia. Some people can't even vote against him. And then he just went in there and just changed it and said he's going to be in office another 15 years or something, so he's just going to die there. So I'm just saying, it's still the greatest country. It really is. Even though we're fighting Trumpsters, it is still the greatest country. And I'm glad that I live here.
What about you, Ms. Elias? Is America the greatest country in the world through your eyes?
As of right now, yes. But if he wins election, I'd like to see what happens. I think that a lot of people will change their minds at that point in time if he wins election. But democracy causes us to be the greatest country in the world. That's what it is. You have freedoms here. You have democracy. You don't have all the freedoms you think you have, but you have freedoms here. Whereas that you go to another country and you talk trash to police, they're going to get with you.
Right.
So, yeah, America. So yeah, America right now is the greatest. It's the greatest. Most definitely. Won't take that away from America at all. At all.
Well, so now this country, something that I rarely do, but I probably should do more of, I happened to stroll through one of the sites that carry our show. And like I said, it was by accident because I was trying to find an old episode, and I happened to stroll down and if it's on some of these other platforms, people have the opportunity to write comments below. And I read a comment, and it said basically that we have to ask ourselves the question. I think the person said it in a way of, every week you guys are complaining about this country. Do you not think America is the greatest country in the world? And if it is, then why do you guys complain all the time? So, okay.
Because I have the right to complain. And I like everything about my country. So why do you complain about something? It's because you don't like it. So that question absolutely makes no sense to me. I'm going to complain about the things I don't like. Or should I just shut up and take it and say, well, this is the greatest country in America, so shut up and take it. No. I want to make change. How do you make change? You talk about it and you do something about it. And you don't just shut up and roll on about it. That question absolutely makes no sense to me. Absolutely not. One iota of sense. Because the only way you can make change to something is you do something about it. And how do you do something about it? These kids on the college campus, God bless them, they want change in Israel. And what they're doing something about it. They're protesting. So is that wrong for them to protest? Or that's complaining? That makes no sense.
And this person went on to say that they heard a show a while back, and I'm still trying to figure out what show that they're talking about. And they said I asked you, Mr. Elias, about aren't we in a better place than we are? Isn't this different in the 60s? And I think the person's response was, no, it is not. And, the person, how can you say that it's not in – And I'm trying to. I wish I would have. I actually found it on my phone. Go ahead.
I can answer that question because they just got rid of the lynch law, like 2 years ago. So if we were talking maybe a year ago, they just got rid of the lynch law, where it's illegal to lynch somebody. So we as African Americans don't have voting rights. If they decide to get a hat up their ass at this point in time, they can take away my voting rights. Because it's a bill that has to be passed. So, yeah, is it different? Of course it's different. But, hell, there's still spots in America where I can't live. Why? Because of the color of my skin. So is it better? Yeah, I got some things better. But, hell, it's still a racism out there. You can't live in certain – it's a guy named – his name is George Wilburn in Chicago. Now, this guy wanted to buy a spot on the Gold Coast, right, in Chicago. So he was a comedian, and he was a radio host. Now, he sent his agent in there to broker the deal, and when he went there to sign the papers, they said, oh, we can't sell to you. Nope. And they just came out right out and said, we don't sell to people like you. And they paid him like $15-20 million to go away. So don't act like it's just so rosy. You gotta fight for you gotta fight for the things that you want. There's specific spots, and if you want to talk about it, they devalue
our houses because of the color of my skin. So don't act like it's better. It's not. It's gotten better, but it's still that racism. People are still running people and dragging them behind trucks and killing them because of the color of their skin. So, you know, come on, man, stop. Don't do that. Don't.
And now it's not even, it's not even them dragging them behind. Now they're doing it. Okay, so back then, it was the Ku Klux Klan wearing a white cloak to cover up their face. Now a lot of them are just wearing uniforms. So what's the difference?
Okay, I saw that and I said, my goodness, let me ask, because I'm not sure if that person's listening today or listening whenever. But I thought it was an interesting question to ask. I've always said I thought America, regardless of its flaws, that is still the greatest country in the world. But I remember having this conversation with a cat on a flight. And that joker told me, that's crazy. You haven't lived. How can you make that comment when you haven't lived in other places? And this guy brought up Belize, saying that, Belize, and I said, well, Belize is not really, Belize is not a country. I don't think it's a city in South America or whatever. But the guy was like, you know, so many Americans are moving there. And that, you know, it's, they don't have to worry about, you know, what happens with all the political, they don't have that strife. And I think it's actually in Central America, not South America,
hold on. So when you go to Belize, stuff in Belize, and I've been there like 3 or 4 times, because every time you get on the ship out of Galveston, 9 times out of 10, if you want to go to Belize, you can. Okay, there at one point was police officers with machine guns that sat on the back row of the tourist bus, the back row. So it ain't all peaches and cream over there in Belize, honey, if you're listening to me. But people do buy over there in Puerto Rico, Costa Rica, they do buy over there because it is very inexpensive to live there. So as soon as Southwest started flying there, pilots immediately started buying there. But that doesn't mean that it's so cushy and sweet to live over there. It just means that it's cheap to live over there and you're not in the United States. That's all that means. Been there, done there. That T-shirt's hanging up.
Well, I guess for me, it's in the eyes of the beholder, right? I mean, when you look at the fact that there's a reason why people call us the police of the world, because everyone looks to America for guidance and leadership. So to me, in that vein alone, that we're the greatest country in the world. Countries are always trying to align with us. Obviously, you know, not Russia, and, you know, we have a love-hate relationship with China. Obviously, you know, North Korea would be considered an enemy. But at the end of the day, can we really say, if we complain and bitch about America so much, then, you know, how can we say it's the greatest country in the world? And Mr. Elias, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, there's nothing 100% absolute. We have these arguments on the show all the time, how, you know, well, most of the people, you know, America thinks this. Well, no, there's a certain percentile of people who think this way. That's why you take polls, the majority. Like you said at the beginning of this segment, Vanessa, you know, Trump, not Trump country, because he, you know, the Republicans have lost so many elections since this guy has been president. So, you know, at the end of the day, you can say there's a huge following for him, but I wouldn't overall label this country as Trump, but it's interesting. I do think it's the greatest country in the world. And I'd be interested to see if people, you know, if you're going to respond in to us, you know, answer that question for us. Is it the greatest country in the world? And I think it's unanimous here on this show. We say yes, it is. It has its flaws, you know, and people may have thought, since we are African Americans, our vote would be different. I do think it's a greater country for those of the white complexion than it is for the ones of the dark complexion. I'm just saying, But at the end of the day, it is the greatest country in the world. Final thoughts on this one, Vanessa. And the no-hitter's gone. What about you, Ms. Dale? Final thoughts on this one.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, it's gone now, but go ahead. Yes.
Okay,
final
go ahead, Liz.
On this one.
Let Liz go. It's okay, because I didn't hear the
question. Well, it is the greatest country in America, like you said, but it has its flaws, man. So is anything perfect? You know, there's nothing perfect. So when I see an injustice, when I see things that are bad, I'm going to talk about them, I'm going to complain about them, and in the end, I want to try to do something about them. So that's where that Tootsie Rolls, man. I'm sorry.
Yep. Tootsie Rolls.
That's the way that Tootsie Rolls. That's pretty good. Miss Deli has the quote of the morning. All right, that's good. Vanessa, you like to add anything before we turn the lights out on the topic?
We're going
to
drop the mic with Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Roll.
All right, folks. We'll be right back after this. It's time for some music. And stay tight. Stay close. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time in a place called Mzansi, the people love driving cars everywhere. They use lots and lots of electricity and chop down many trees for firewood. And then a very strange thing happened. The weather began to change. In some places there were droughts where before there was rain. In other places the rivers flooded. The grown-ups realized they were contributing to the strange weather. They discovered if they used clean energy and less electricity, they could save Mzansi for their children.
What happened then?
How the story unfolds is up to each and every one of us. Switch off, recycle, change. Help save tomorrow, today.
online radio at its best.
The younger brother of Botham Jean honored for this incredible moment that shocked a courtroom and touched the world.
Can I give her a hug, please? Please.
The Institute of Law Enforcement's Ethical Courage Award normally goes to police officers. This year, it went to 18-year-old Brandt for his extraordinary act of mercy towards the former cop, Amber Geiger, convicted of murder for shooting and killing his older brother inside his own apartment.
I'm truly grateful for this award, and I hope others can see the light in what I did.
In front of that police organization, Brandt used the spotlight to address the treatment of black men at the hands of police.
I want you all to know that I am not a threat, that young black males are not inherently dangerous or criminal.
That hug not only stunned the courtroom, but his own family, just moments after Geiger was sentenced to 10 years in prison for the murder. Brandt later telling GMA he had no regrets.
Every time I ask God for forgiveness, he forgives me. So who am I to not forgive someone who asked? I waited 1 year to hear I'm sorry, and I'm grateful for that. And that's why I forgive her. This is what you have to do to set yourself free.
Welcome back in. 12 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. A story that we covered about 5 years ago. Amber Geiger, she accidentally walked through the wrong apartment and shot and killed Botham Jean while he was sitting on his couch about to enjoy a bowl of ice cream. She was convicted, sentenced to 10 years in prison, and I remember the moment when the brother asked to hug her, and even the judge was crying at that moment. And at the end of the trial, the judge actually gave the former police officer a Bible, and the judge was criticized for that. The judge was an African-American woman. Something that we're going to start doing a better job at is revisiting stories that we covered on this show. A lot of times we'll talk about something and then we'll just let it go. And we let you guys go out and, you know, most of you folks, you know, knew what happened with this particular story. But, you know, but we didn't put a, you know, we didn't put a cap on it. We didn't put a ribbon on it. We didn't give our final thoughts on, you know, what happened. And, you know, and it's pretty cool to go back and revisit the story, you know, more than 5 years later. Let me, you know, Ms. Elias, first of all, when that young man asked to hug that police officer, I can't remember what you said when we talked about it, but, you know, we just had a segment talking about America, saying that America, you know, even though it's the, we have, you know, it has its flaws, it's still the greatest nation in the world. And one of the reasons why we talk about, you know, America the way we do in some cases is because of what happens between police and African-American men, especially. A long time ago, we used to have a segment called LWB, right? Living While Black. And every week we had a story of an encounter that that happened between an African-American and a police officer where, the African-American in most cases lost their life. So as we revisit this story, we talk about accountability for police officers. I'm assuming you're satisfied with that verdict. And once again, I can't remember what you said, but how did you feel about that moment, man? Because even that young man's family was shocked when he said what he said. And I'm just curious as to your thought process. Now, if I can, I'm going to go back and try to pull it up. It's been a while, but anyway, give me your thoughts on this, man.
At the time, I probably said I wouldn't. There's no way in the world I would have hugged her.
Yeah, I think that is what you said. Yeah.
You know, yeah. At the time, that's probably what I did say. I'd have been like, you just killed my brother, and now I'm hugging you. But understanding as you get older, you know, your views in life change, man. Sometimes you got to, man, that man probably had the release to, you know, to let itself go free. Because if you live with anger, man, that person rules your life, you know? So I get probably why he did what he did, but even
he did it
day,
in the moment, though. He did it in the moment. Yeah, so, like you said, after time, he did it in the moment.
Yeah,
right?
But he did say he had been. If you listen to the interview, he said it was building up in it. And he said, he had to release that, man, because if he didn't, it would consume who he is. So I get what he was saying, but man, I'm of that adage now. You hurt my family, man, and you know, you came into his apartment and you killed him. You know, so I get it, man. You got to forgive. You got to forgive, because if you don't forgive, it will consume you and tear you up. So you got to forgive. You just don't forget. There it is.
You know, Vanessa, that young man said during his interview with GMA that, you know, if we ask God to forgive us for our sins, then who are we not to forgive as well? Once again, I'm not sure. That's a tough one to forgive someone who killed your brother. And I said in the moment, that trial actually took place, I think, a year after it had happened. So maybe it wasn't in the moment. And then maybe he did have the opportunity to reflect and said, okay, I need to do something different. But anyway, your thoughts on this? And what I didn't know was he was given the award that award that is usually reserved for police officers, and then he spoke, or he took that opportunity to speak to police about, hey, I'm not a threat. You have to stop assuming that African-American men are threats, you know. Just give me your thoughts on this whole thing. And I can't remember what you said at the time either, but you know, it's been 5 years, so we can get a different perspective from you at this time.
Absolutely. You know, if he did that in the moment, that's because the Holy Spirit led him that way. And I do remember when he did that in court. So I can't question when somebody else is following the Holy Spirit that has touched their life at whatever time and wherever you are. So God bless him for that. Me, it had been after the fact. So I am like Les. It would take a lot of praying for me to forgive you, but I guess you just, if people ask you for forgiveness or whatever, you want God to forgive you for stuff. But, you know, God still got some work to do with me, and I'm still going to church trying to make sure that I hear the word so that I can be a better person. But I don't know. It would have to be the Holy Spirit touching me. Just like it touched him to make me say, give me a hug, because I probably would be reaching for a knife. But you know, I'm just being honest. I can't say why that young man did that. And the family was shocked. And it probably was because the Holy Spirit touched him. Or we don't know what that boy has done in his life that he's asking for forgiveness for. So for me, at that time, I probably could not have asked, you know, gave that person a hug. That's just me. But it is like what Elias says. And right now, I'm going through some family stuff that I don't particularly like, not in my main household, but some stuff I don't particularly like. And I just said yesterday that I was not going to let that rip space in my mind anymore. I'm just not going to let it rip any free space in my mind. That I was just going to do what I said I was going to do, not talk about it, and move on. I'm just going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm not even going to talk about it. So I'm not going to rent any space in my mind, and I'm not going to hold any malice. I'm just going to stay the hell away from the situation. So, yeah, I'm kind of like what Les said, but God got some work to do with me. I couldn't have gave that woman a hug unless the Holy Spirit told me to do it, because I probably would have been trying to reach for a knife, but that's just me.
Now, and what about the scrutiny that the sister, the judge, received? Because when he asked permission and she granted it. And, you know, you can see in the background she was tearing up. And when she gave the young lady the Bible, that's when, you know, once again, I said this at the top of the show, there are times where you play the race card. But, you know, she was, a lot of people were infuriated, especially African-Americans, that I dare you give this white police officer a Bible. When she just shot and killed an innocent man. And this is something that's been going on in our country for far too long. And in one of the few cases where one of these cops are being held accountable, I dare you to show any passion or mercy towards her. Was that fair, Ms. Delias, towards that judge?
No, it wasn't. What's wrong with showing compassion, man? You know, we're a country that, I mean, we're people that have lost our compassion, man. You know, they just show compassion. You know, bottom line, it's not wrong to show compassion to your fellow man and, you know, to say that, you know, maybe, and to give somebody a Bible to read while they're going to be incarcerated. And you know, man, look, that Bible could change that woman's life, man. It could. It could change her life. And that could be a step to redemption for her. So, no, I'm not going to, you know, no. If that judge did that, God bless her. That's all I can say.
Well, let me ask you guys this as we close this segment out. If she only serves a third of her prison sentence, will justice have been served?
According to our judicial system, yes.
I'm asking you your personal opinion.
No, hell no. Maybe one of the two men in the lobby. Hell no. you still got to be held accountable for what you do. You still got to be held accountable. Yeah, I'm sorry. You got to be held accountable. You can't take somebody's life and then expect to get off because you feel sorry. No, you have to be. You need to do some time. You need to be held accountable. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. What about you, Vanessa?
Well, hell, I just told y'all she couldn't have even hugged me. So, you know, I want to help her to do all her time. But, you know, if a regular person could have gotten less time, you know, a third, or they get out because the prisons was too crowded with COVID. So if that's what they felt was necessary, then fine. But her life was going to be changed anyway. So it ain't for me to wish nothing bad because her life is going to be changed. People know who she is. I hope she left Dallas. So what you're saying.
Well, she's still in prison.
If she got less time, then so would a regular person. So would a regular person if they were behaving in prison. So, yeah, it's fine.
All right, there it is. 347-850-1272. It's time for our second music break, but it's also time for you to run to your prospective websites or wherever you leave your comments. I'm about to pull comments, so if you want to be heard at the end of the show, go ahead and make that happen right now. We'll be right back after this. Don't you go anywhere.
Life is tearing you apart. Looking good on the outside, but I can feel your heart. You feel helpless and homeless, isolated and confused. You feel like life has no purpose. So let these words encourage you.
Cannot die, though you've been hurting.
I command you to leave. It's your only option. Yes, it is. By faith.
By faith.
You shall live. You're going to live through the hurt and the pain. You're going to live through the heartache and shame. By faith.
By faith.
Listen, listen, listen. I know you feel like giving up right now. Cause you don't know which way to go. But I'm not by here to tell you. Just for a little while. You can always go to the Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a little more. Just have it over your life.
Back 347-850-1272 is that call the number 347-850-1272. It is 30 minutes after the hour, I should say the bottom of the hour. It's the Serious Out of the J Rod Show. It is time to say good morning to my peeps. Good morning, Vanessa Mae Belly from the McAnally. How you doing on this wet, wet, wet Sunday morning in the great state of Texas?
I know we live on two totally different sides of town. It rained over here 15 minutes and it's over. That's because God wants me to go to church, so it's still raining at your house. Good evening and good morning, everybody.
Why you got to bring that up? Why you got to bring that up? Everybody know that you got a close personal relationship with God, that you God's number one person, number one fan, so stop. You ain't got to put that in our face, why don't you? The man. Who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side? The one and only Mr. L to the E to the S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, and good morning to you and Ron. Good morning, Nessa. Ron. Good morning, Momo B. Ron. Good morning, Kathleen. Ron. Good morning, Red Dilla. Ron. Good morning, Rich Sister. Ron. Good morning, Marianna Music. And Marianna Music, that first song was Essence featuring Trend, and it's by the Wiz Kid. And the last one was by Marvin
Sapper,
is called Live.
All right, Mr. Elias, can we say hello to anybody in our world-famous chat room, sir?
Our brother Covina, man, is in there with us.
What's happening? What's happening? My favorite person of all time. One of our, you know what, I think it's official. I think Covina, man, is our number one listening fan on the Sirius side. Now, I know Real Dilla can make a close second. You know, and I guess she's there as well because she used to listen to us on the J. Ryle show. But Covina Man has been here. I want to say Covina Man has been here since probably the first month of the Serious Side. And the Serious Side has been on this air for a very long time. So kudos to you. Kudos to my baby, Real Dilla. She is a fan, and I love her as well. Thank you guys so much. I want to say what's up to the pastor. What's happening, pastor? Checking in. Christina, Shelley, Angelique. Is that Angelique or Angelica? Angelique, I got it right. Terry, Felicia, so many people, thank you so much. Comments are coming in. Some of these comments are pretty good. Can't wait to get to the part of the show to read them. But listen, we're still taking more. Get out there, put the comments in, and we can't wait to hear from you during the Pastor Steve State Your Case portion of the show. A couple of more things I want to talk about that we didn't get a chance to talk about in the earlier Rapid Clap, but we always use this part of the show. I like to call it the pause, where we say good morning and, you know, talk about some things. Another, Florida's abortion ban goes in full effect, went into effect this week. And I mean, we're talking about a total ban on abortion. It's just sickness, Elias, that we are even in this phase. But because of Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump, we are here. Give me your thoughts real quick on that.
Well, my thoughts are, man, look, you know, people, if you look at it, this is what the Democrats should run on, is the abortion ban. Because women are tired of it. And now that they're saying that Florida's in place, and definitely Phoenix, Arizona, because what they're saying now, which is draconian law that they were trying to put in place from 1864 in Phoenix, these people are not going to forget that, man. So let's hope that people don't have their memories wiped out within that short period of time, man. So, yeah, this 6-week abortion ban is going to come back to bite them in the ass.
I think so. You know, Vanessa, college protests all over the nation this week. Police are going in and they are tearing down these camps. What say you in regards to this?
Why did you do the abortion ban with me and do tearing down the camps with lead? Because you know my philosophy is tear them all down. That ain't got nothing to do with these other kids who's in there trying to get education. And if you want to do it in the street. Don't do it on the college property where these people can't have their graduations and stuff. So I say tear them all down. And then even when they went off in there, y'all, they found about 79 people that went to jail. Wasn't even students. They were professional protesters. So kids, y'all stop letting these people come in there and tell y'all, yeah, let's protest. Let's put up a tent. Let's break it to the school. These people ain't got no news, honey, because they not in school. And y'all following them? Come on now. Come on. And you ain't got to be on the school property to get your point across. Tear it down. That's my thing. Tear them all down.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I agree with most of what you said. I mean, they should be able to allow to have peaceful protests, and I think the school even accommodated that. But once you start barricading and becoming disruptive, it had to happen. Last thing, Dallas Cowboy fans, I know you're sad to hear this, but Michael Irvin was let go by the NFL Network, so he will not be there next season. I liked Irv on game day morning, but a lot of sports media companies are laying folks off, and you know, I think what happened to him during that Super Bowl last year kind of played a role in it as well. But they're saying, hey, you know, we have to start reducing the staff. Your thoughts on that one, Mr. Elias, real quick?
I like Mike Irvin as well, man. So it's going to be sad for me not to get him in with some loud-ass suits on every week. So, yeah, man, it's going to be real sad for me, man. It is. I'm sorry.
Well, you can still catch
one of the sports casters.
Yes, Vanessa.
So people want to talk about the Galveston water.
What?
So he wants to get on there and talk about the Galveston water. Beyonce's mama told him, watch it.
Talking about Charles Barkley.
I'm sorry, Charles Barkley. And then people on Facebook are like, well, the water is dirty. Okay. Yes, Galveston's water is dirty, but guess what? That's the first beach, 75% of us who grew up in Houston, that's the first beach we ever saw. So why are y'all going to let somebody who don't even live here talk about your duck water?
Y'all are too sensitive. He's joking. My goodness. You guys, oh, my God.
I didn't think it was funny. And then Jack. Wait a minute. Then he had Jack laughing with him, who had a house here. I don't think that's funny, Charles Barkley. You never said, I'm going to have that white woman with the blue eyes and leave us. Wait a minute, Jay. He called the women in San Antonio fat.
My God. Y'all is too sensitive. My goodness. Are you done? Jesus Christ.
Wow. Oh, my. That's your brother. That is your brother, Vanessa. Remember that one.
You ought to see me rolling your damn eyes.
Yeah, y'all are too sensitive about
why
that.
Are you
He's joking.
Let him talk about your substance with? Okay, Jay. Okay, forget Galveston. Why are you going to let him take a slide with talking about the women in San Antonio affair? Why okay, would he apologize?
I'm not going to let him slide with it, Vanessa. You're right.
I mean,
right.
We can talk about Texas, but he can't talk about Texas and just think that we're going to, you know what? That's
okay.
All right. I'm going to slide my little stuff on over here and put on my church shoes and pray for all y'all who think that that kind of stuff is right. So, okay.
All right.
No
thank
problem.
You. No problem.
Well,
all right. One more.
What do you think about the new Texan blue?
Vanessa, we have the show to do. Forget that. Who cares?
You Texan brought up blue. The damn sports, and now
my
that
goodness.
I want to talk about something with the sports, you don't want me to talk about it. Okay, move on.
Jeez, we have time.
That's your brother,
right
Vanessa.
Here. You know what, Miss Elias, you are sorry. Be quiet.
Online radio at its best. The jury reached a verdict this afternoon and awarded Army Lieutenant Karan Nazario less than $4,000 out of the $1 million he sued two officers for last year. Now, Nazario is a Virginia Army National Guard lieutenant who sued then-Officer Joe Gutierrez and Officer Daniel Crocker over a traffic stop in December 2020. He had claims of assault and battery, unlawful imprisonment, and illegal search. At around 3 p.m. today, nine jury members came to a unanimous decision and awarded Nazario $1,000 in punitive damages for Officer Crocker's illegal search of his car, and then $2,685 for assault by Gutierrez. Now, police body camera video of the traffic stop circulated on social media after this incident, and it showed the officers pepper spraying, striking, and handcuffing Nazario as he fails to exit his vehicle after police commands. Nazario can also be heard saying he's afraid for his life. We'll hear from Jonathan Arthur, Nazario's attorney, as well as Rick Matthews, who represented Officer Crocker in court today.
You're pleased that the jury determined that there were certain things that they would not tolerate. Obviously, we're disappointed they determined that there were things that they would, but we are once again very pleased that they put their foot down and said certain actions from law enforcement they're not going to tolerate in Virginia.
Against our client, Officer Crocker, $1,000 in damages for the search, which we admitted, you know, he didn't follow the proper procedure. So we feel the verdict was fair. It was courageous on the part of the jury, given the political climate, and we're very pleased.
That was a case that happened also 5 years ago, and I think you guys remember this story because I was livid behind it. An Army lieutenant bought a brand new vehicle, had his dog in the car. Police wanted to pull him over because they could not see, or they felt that the vehicle did not have a license plate. They pulled him over with weapons drawn, and if you saw the video, you would have been incensed. He sued them for $1 million, and guess what they gave him? $4,000. So now, going back to what we talked about America being great or the greatest country, these are the reasons why we call this country out on nonsense. $4,000 he received for someone who was violating his civil rights. Now think about this. OJ went to jail for how long? Because he stepped in front of a hotel room and said, ain't nobody leaving with my stuff. These jokers had him in a car. They pulled him out. They pepper sprayed him. And if you go back and look, you can see the temporary tag in the window. He bought the car from the dealership. That's where they put the damn tag. And they probably put the tag there because, you know, their paper and, you know, the weather would beat them up, which I don't understand. By the way, by now you would like to think they'd make these things out of plastic or something, or at least wrap them in a plastic bag or something. Unbelievable. $4,000. Anyone could take this. I was shocked when I found out about this. And it happened a while back, but this is, you know, once again, we need to do a better job of revisiting stories and giving people conclusions to stories that we've covered here on the show. So, Vanessa, you go ahead and take it. I heard you talking. He got $4,000. The jury reward. Because basically what the jury was saying was, well, he should have complied. Wait a minute. He did exactly what we tell our kids to do. If a police officer is following you, get to a lightest area and pull over. Turn on your hazard lights, get to a lighted area. He did that. He pulled into a gas station, and that's where all this nonsense happened. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay. Well, I remember a lot of it, but you know what? America, the United States is still better. I'm still glad to be here. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed. I'm going to say it over and over again. The people who were wearing the white sheets are the ones who are mainly now wearing the uniform. So, yeah, $4,000 wasn't nothing. But don't worry about it, Jay, because you always say, Vanessa, I want to be alive to see it. But
I
God
sure do.
Looking,
I want to see it, though.
Excuse me, are going to get theirs. They're going to get theirs. Just hang tight. They're going to get it. Just hang tight.
Mm.
It's going to be all right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it with my own eyes. I want to see it with my own eyes. Miss Elias,
I'm moving around. Y'all, I'm sorry. I'm moving around very slow, and I am still dropping stuff, and I still can't really pick stuff up. So, audience, please forgive me if you hear me drop something or Jay keeps saying, Vanessa, because I am still sick. I'm just doing the show.
Hold
but
on.
But Jay has no mercy for nobody.
See how she did that. All because.
Last week you were hollering at me.
I was not hollering at you last week.
Yes, he was, Vanessa.
You know what? I should grab a nickel, a quarter, or a dollar and throw it in. You know what? Give me my dollar. Mr. Elias, you ain't almost did it anyway. Mr. Elias, give me your comment on this, man, because, you know, we're laughing, but I was really incensed by this whole situation, and we talked about it here. And, you know, once again, $4,000, he filed a million-dollar lawsuit. $4,000. Now, the most aggressive officer, which is an officer named Guites, whatever his name was, the one who actually initiated the pepper spray, he was eventually fired. The other officer remained on the force at the time. I'm not sure where he is today. But anyway, Mr. Elias, give me your thoughts, man. $4,000 for what they did to
that
lieutenant.
That was horrible. Because what they did to that guy, they pulled him over. I remember this story vividly. And then, you know, he told us, hey, I'm fearing for my life. These guys were aggressive. They were aggressive as hell towards this brother. So, hey, man, I understand. I understand what he was going through. I truly do. But, you know, he should have complied. Is that what they usually say about us? If you didn't comply, how many people comply and it don't turn out well for them? This man went through hell, and you give him $4,000? Come on, man. Come on. This is crazy. This is dumb. This is stupid. You should have worked that man that $1 million and moved on. Let them police officers know, hey, man, you can't keep doing this to people. You cannot. It's insensitive to this man. And this is a man that serves his country. And this is how you treat him. You tell me you love the military? Is that how you treat your military? Doesn't make sense.
Well, it kind of goes back to what we talk about all the time. You never know. This guy was driving, and because they didn't see a license plate, and it was they acted as if it was a high-speed chase. He put his blinkers on, drove to the nearest. Now they said he drove about a mile. But he drove till he got to a safe spot and pulled over. And they came out with their weapons drawn. I mean, on a traffic stop, man.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a report of a bank robbery or a convenience store was held up and a vehicle that matched this description happened to cross their path. It was a traffic stop, and their weapons were drawn. You tell me. You tell me. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy and it's nonsense. I can't believe it. And so we want to talk about this country. Let's talk about this country. You know, you talk about all these different things that are going on. At the end of the day, you know, the bottom line is you can't continue to act as if these things don't occur in this country. So it looks like we have a phone call, Mr. Elias. Should we dive in and take it raw, or do you want to check it first because we got to get to a break?
Let me check it first.
Yeah, because you never know. We have people calling here talking crazy. But at the end of the day, folks, you know, this guy, and do yourselves a favor, go back, look at the video, and you tell me if that guy shouldn't have been rewarded more than $4,000. It was $1,000 because he was because of false imprisonment. And then there was another $2,000 something, whatever, because they violated police procedures or whatever the hell they did. It's just crazy, man. It's just crazy. It's ridiculous. And, you know, once again, here's the situation where I can say we can play the race card because there's no way anyone who saw that could agree with the fact that a matter of that this man wasn't violated. And I think the case was referred to the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. government. And so, yeah, I think that's the right place for it to go. And hopefully we can get it resolved. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number. Vanessa, you know, as we continue to talk about living in America, there's no denial that at the end of the day, this country can do better, right?
Absolutely. But everywhere, nowhere, no place is perfect. No place is perfect. But I have traveled, and I haven't traveled as much as you have, but I have traveled, and I'm fine with where I am and the rules. And like this girl was going through TSA in Dubai or something, and she said something nasty to one of the TSA people. Oh, she cussed a rental car agent out in Dubai or somewhere, and guess what?
Oh, yeah.
She went. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, they kept her. Yeah, they kept her.
I'm good. Okay. Good.
All right, Ms. Delia, so are we going to the lines?
Yeah, man, this is we call him OAJ, but it stands for One Angry Jew, and he's in Thailand, and yeah.
Good morning. Welcome in, man.
You know, your guy asked me, he said, what's your question? I said, well, why do I have to have a question? I'm full of opinions. He's got a puzzle
okay.
And opinions will
you know
come
what?
Out.
I kind of remember talking to you from back in the day, but, you know, we have about 30 seconds, man. So go ahead and give me your opinion on what we're talking about or whatever opinion that's on your mind.
You got more time than 30 seconds. However... America is not a safe place. It's one of the reasons why I don't live there. I wouldn't want to subject my 17-year-old Asian, Jewish, and white son to the nonsense that's going on in America. And cops don't pick out black people. They pick out the white people, too. They could give a shit. The black cops will go after the black people. The white cops go after everybody else. They think that they're entitled. I bristle. There you go. There's a good word, right? I bristle when I hear somebody say, I have a First Amendment right for free speech. And I say, no, you don't. And then the cops say, well, you're allowed to be here on the sidewalk. Bullshit. You are not prohibited from being on the sidewalk. You're not prohibited from being on the sidewalk. Nobody cares about Block Talk Radio. You can, in my day, the stuff that went on Block Talk Radio would curl your hair. Might be curled already.
But the cops
are all confused, and so are these First Amendment auditors, and I'm sure you watch them,
yeah.
First Amendment auditors, because that's where you got some of this content from. And I really can't stand it when I keep hearing them say, oh, well, I have a First Amendment right. And I say, no, you don't. First Amendment doesn't give you any rights. And they'll say, I have a Second Amendment right. And I'll tell them, no, you don't. You don't even have a Second Amendment right. And I've heard lawyers get it wrong. In fact, most of the time, they do get it wrong. They'll say, well, the First Amendment gives you the right. No, it doesn't. Why do you keep saying, okay, you agree with me or you
Well, I agree with you.
No,
I agree with you. I do think some of the things you're saying make sense. But we got to go. What, Mr. Ellis? Go ahead.
No, our show ends in 9 minutes, man. We got to go.
We got to get up out of here, man. So I wish you'd have called
in
earlier.
That's in 8 minutes. Are you going to preempt the One Angry Jew for 8 minutes?
Hey, listen, man. We're going
to I find that to be amazing. I think to myself, what are these guys on? They keep talking about the show's ending, but I'm looking at it. You got 8 minutes remaining.
Yeah. But
you can say a lot.
We got a time schedule, man.
Listen,
I like the guy. We've heard from him before, Mr. Elias. I like him. I wish you'd have called him earlier. Okay, we got to step out, take a break. News break, then we'll be back with our final thoughts. Don't go anywhere.
A new study finds women under 60 can safely take hormone therapy to treat symptoms of menopause. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports this is very different from the advice women were given 20 years ago.
The new analysis is based on 2 decades of follow-up from the Women's Health Initiative study that included thousands of women. Study author Joanne Manson is chief of preventive medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital. She says women under the age of 60 can benefit from hormone therapy.
Menopausal hormone therapy has low risk of adverse events and will be safe for treating bothersome hot flashes, night sweats, and other menopausal symptoms.
The original study was halted about 20 years ago when women taking Prempro had elevated risks of breast cancer and stroke. But menopause experts say there are safer options using different formulations of hormones, often at lower doses, that can be delivered by a patch, gel, or pills. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
A lockout continues at Boeing manufacturing plants in the Seattle area. The aircraft maker is keeping more than 120 private firefighters off of its property after a Friday night deadline passed without a contract. The main sticking point is Boeing's insistence on raising the time it takes for firefighters to reach the maximum pay scale from 14 to 19 years. The union says Boeing's lockdown is intended to punish and intimidate firefighters into accepting a contract that undervalues their work. This is NPR News in Washington.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Acorn TV. Acorn TV is brilliant television told brilliantly, from charmingly cozy mysteries to daringly dark dramas. Visit acorn.tv for a 30-day free trial with promo code NPR. Acorn TV. Brilliant.
All right, folks, it is time for Pastor Steve State Your Case, where we read comments from our world-famous chat room and from social media sites that we monitored throughout the course of the show. Mr. Elias, what do you have?
I got Corinna Man says, it's a great country right now, but it could be one of the worst if Trump wins.
That's a good statement. All right, Pastor Steve says, peace and blessings, family. I have to agree with Jay. The judge has to weigh all the consequences if he puts this man in jail. This country's in a bad place. Continue to pray for this union. Felicia from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Okay. I usually don't comment on podcasts, but I have been listening to this PC for the past 3 years, and Jay's right, I consider y'all fam, and we're praying for Vanessa. Okay, we have one here from Mark from Santa Clara. He says, I'm with Mr. Elias, send his ass to jail. See, like you always say, in war there is collateral damage. Collateral damage is any incidental or undesired death, injury, or damage inflicted, especially on civilians as a result of an activity. Okay. Mister, that's my man, Mister from Texas Arcana. Mr. Trump is a traitor and he should be thrown under the jail. God bless America. Amen. God bless you. Terry from Houston, Texas. I agree with everyone on the panel. America has its flaws, but there is no place I'd rather be. Let's see here. Demir from San Antonio, Texas says, is America great? This is really a hard question for me to answer. Let's see. The Voting Act has not been passed. Police indiscriminately kill people of color with no consequences. Women are dying because there are laws denying them access to abortions. And up until recently, major military posts were named after Confederate generals. Let me get back with y'all on this one. Okay. Shelley from Memphis, Tennessee. Mr. Elias and Miss Vanessa never fail. Jay, I just realized you are an instigator. Girl, shut up. Miss Vanessa, you go grab that knife. And Mr. Elias said, hail to the gnaw on early release. Bah. Hey, Shelly, whatever. Angelica. Let's see. Now I know why my lights were flickering. Jay agree with Mr. Elias. LOL, I love you guys. Let me see, can I get one more in here? God, there's a lot. Okay, here. Erica from Cleveland. Eric from Cleveland, Ohio. Thank you for this morning's music selection. I'm at a crossroad in my life, and I really need to hear that song. Hey, man, God bless you, Eric. Hope you get through what you're going through.
Thank you, Erica.
And I can't read them. I don't have time. We run out of time. All right, that is it. Thank you guys so much. You know what time it is.
Online radio at its best.
All right, folks, we have 3 minutes to close this thing down. Everybody gets one 1 minute. Vanessa, give me your final thoughts, sweetie.
Erica, I am pulling into the parking lot of church right now, and I'm just going to ask God to set you and fix everything and anything it is that you need in your life right now. In Jesus' name I pray, and I'm thanking him in advance for you. So, guys, I love y'all. And
all the Erics,
Vanessa,
for all the Erics who are going through stuff.
For all of the people who are listening that are going through things.
Yes,
let me rephrase that. You're right.
Yes, ma'am.
So, anyway, continue to pray for me. I'm still on the walker. I'm still on the cane. And other than that, I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be in y'all world. And I'm grateful for my two brothers, especially the one who's been talking about me and mistreating me. Yes.
There you go. There you go. That's Jay. Remember that, Vanessa.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I love you too, sis. to the moon and back. Mr. Elias, man, final thoughts, you tramp.
Oh, man, hey, such a yeah. Look, this week I went out and paid my taxes and got my taxes paid for the homes that I had to get taken care of. So, and I had to get out to
his home.
So,
his home.
Mm-hmm. You heard that too, huh? Yeah. Yeah.
So you gotta get out and vote, folks. Get out and vote. Because when I was there, I had a chance to vote. Our elections are being held this Tuesday and the great state of Indiana. So, hey, folks, get out and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. If you don't vote, you don't have anything. You can't complain about anything. If you don't fill out your census report, you can't complain about the money you get in your counties. So, look, folks, all this stuff that they tell you is a joke. They're telling that for a reason. If they didn't want to, if voting was such a joke, why are they trying to stop you from doing it?
All right. And my final thought is today is May 5th. It's my grandmother's birthday. Grandma, I love you. I miss you every day. And just rest in heaven, sweetheart. Wow, just a tough day all the way around, but God bless. So happy I had an opportunity to be. I'm so happy to be your grandson. And it's just a wonderful thing. And on that note, Mr. Elias, if it's Sunday, we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the Jay Rao Show.
Folks, it's been a pleasure to serve you as always, and we appreciate you spending a portion of your day with us. So, for Vanessa, for Mr. Elias, I'm Jay Rao, saying have a wonderful work week. And remember, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side of the Jay Rao Show. And be safe on the highway, Jay Rao, because I know you're listening. Back. See you next week.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 good and bad.
If you're ready, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Farrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the Jay Rao Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.